queer home of Canada's queer media. My name is Nick Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
That welcome sounded like I pulled a muscle. Welcome. Welcome. I'm not that old.
Which muscle?
Right.
Oh, no.
Well, his name is Alfonso.
I was trying to apply like funny bone or something, and you went in a completely different direction.
No, I went to Alfonso at the gym. That's the muscle I pulled.
I think you and I are on different levels of like innocence and purity on this one.
Yeah, you are innocent and purity. I am neither. Oh, do. Well, welcome back to Can Queer Home of Canada's Queer Media. We are back again to talk about the biggest LGBTQ news around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Not an awful lot happening in Canada.
Not that we know of. This is an issue that we have in that media coverage in Canada can be pretty difficult. Sometimes we find things on social media. Sometimes we find things... local papers are actually really good sources sometimes. We get a lot of things from, like, the Sudbury... What do they have? Gazette? Do they have the Gazette there? The Silhouette? The Times? I don't remember.
The Outline?
The Sudbury local paper. I find a lot of stuff, stories through them. But anyway, sometimes it just comes up dry. And sometimes we go through the world. And sometimes we skip over stories that look important because Eurovision is happening and that's very important to us.
It is.
For some reason.
I mean, you're like, some reason, as if you don't know.
Uh-huh.
We're going to have another Eurovision song later in the show because, like I said, obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing that's happening soon that hasn't happened for a little while is, what is a resource that you would need in abundance when you pull together 6,000... I think it's 6,000. I'm pretty sure it was 6,000. I'll get the exact number. 6,000... of the world's most pristine bodied people in one place.
Water, food, shelter, and warmth. You're going to need those in abundance.
Okay, yes. Well, you would need an abundance of water, food, shelter, and earth?
Warmth.
Warmth. There we go. I was like, they need potting?
We're not talking about magic systems. It's not like fire, water, earth.
You forgot the earth element. We need to give them earth. Like, that's how it's important. No, I am obviously referring to the interesting news. So, the last Olympics, there was a bit of a ban on fraternizing with the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Or, put another way, the athletes were told quite nicely during a global pandemic to maybe not breathe too much on each other. And by extension, it's hard to do other things in close proximity when you can't breathe on
each other. Olympic villages have had a reputation since maybe the 90s, I think, is when it started to become known that these were hotbeds.
Yeah, beds that get very hot.
Hotbeds of beds that are hot.
Exactly.
The audience knows what we're talking about.
Yeah, we're alluding, and that's all you need.
We're talking about hot water bottles.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. There is some thermo action happening.
Yeah.
In those beds. Now, famously, I think it was the UK one where the beds were made out of cardboard.
Yes. To try to discourage them, and all the athletes were like, we can do it standing.
Yeah, well, they can do a lot of things standing. They don't even have to be standing. Some of them could do it anyway.
But some of them just broke their beds and didn't care because they're like, well, if it's cardboard, then I'm not going to feel bad for breaking the bed.
Well, the Olympic beds weren't made to, and it was a bit of a fake news story at the time. They weren't genuinely made to dissuade rambunctious behavior by these world athletes on their beds. It was actually because, you know, first of all, buying and purchasing thousands of beds for single purpose use. Not very eco-friendly.
Yeah.
But the cardboard beds, easy to recycle.
Yes.
So it was a lower environmental impact.
Yes.
However, the environmental impact of 300 condoms, which is what Paris is pulling together for the French Olympics.
300.
1,000.
Okay.
Sorry, I missed the word 1,000 there. It's 300 1,000 condoms. Okay. Now, for someone, I know there's someone in the passenger seat who's got a back of a napkin and a pen, and they're like, okay, 6,000 athletes, 300,000 condoms, you carry the two and you square it by fun time. Mm. And it works out to be about 2 a day, or 30 per athlete.
Oh my God.
Now, I'm not going to say all of the athletes, obviously, are going to enjoy themselves, but it is good to be safe. Mm-hmm. And the French Olympics, they've lifted the ban on ménage à trois.
Yes.
The ban on... I was going to think of more French euphemisms, but I have run out. You must know a good French euphemism for a...
The ban on je ne sais quoi. Amour.
Amour, yes. a ban on voulez-vous chez...
And it was never a ban. It's not like they were put into chastity belts or anything. It was just a strong discouragement.
Literally locked up.
They were just strongly discouraged for health, sanitation, and pandemic reasons.
They are at the peak of the health.
Yeah.
You don't want to catch the Rona from, a gymnast. From...
If I'm going to get Corona... I would rather get it from
If you're going to get it from anyone, Olympic gymnast, if you have to, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Worst case scenario. But yes, the French Olympics will allow intimate liaisons during this Olympics, and they have purchased a significant volume of the appropriate sports equipment for that activity to occur. You're probably at more risk in the Seine than you are in the bedroom with the Olympics coming up. So that's interesting news. We'll keep an eye on it. Obviously not too close, but we will keep an eye on how that develops. There was an interesting study that came out, and they've been looking at the best places in the world to work remotely. Now, a lot of countries...
Are you talking about, like, the places to live while having a remote job? Or the best places to have a job that allows you to work remotely? Because, like, you can... You know, like you could say England has the best remote jobs, but you're better off living in Spain. You know, like, these are two separate issues.
Mm-hmm. But no, we're talking about where in the world it is best to have a job that is remote.
Okay.
So that you can do... So, Sebastian, when do you think the most inclusive place, i.e. you're a queer person, you want... access to the pension plan, or medical health benefits, or general legal protections from being fired just for being a raging homosexual. Where do you think the top place would be for the most inclusive place for remote work?
Switzerland.
You know what? You're not too far off. Norway.
Always forget about Switzerland when they look at these lists.
It's true.
Yeah, well, that's just on my mind because the list of the happiest places in the world came out recently, and Switzerland was number 3, I think. And I remember thinking, no, everyone forgets about them. But yeah, Norway, that doesn't surprise me because Norway's also, I think, number 2 on the happiest places for the year.
I believe that the United States just dropped out of the top 20 happy places.
They're out of the top 30.
Oh, they are not happy.
It is not
a happy place to be.
Yeah.
It's not great. No, Norway tops the list of most inclusive places according to instantoffices.com. They've really specialized in remote work, co-working spaces, sort of popping up wherever. The great thing is if you have a kind of a job that you can do from anywhere, and your bosses don't check your IP address, then it is quite possible for you to do your job literally from anywhere.
Yes.
And Norway might be one of the most appealing places to go. And what do you think is number 2? If you had to go for a number 2, what would you do?
Well, I would turn on the overhead fan and maybe open the window. You almost spat out your drink.
No, I'm glad you picked that up. I was like, was that too obvious?
The thing is that the Scandinavian countries tend to come in a cluster. So if Norway's number 1, then it's an obvious guess that Finland, Denmark... Sweden, possibly the Netherlands, and sometimes Estonia, Lithuania, and Latvia kind of sneak in there as sort of co...
Well, Sweden is number three.
Oh.
And number two, with an overall score that's about one below Norway, is Canada.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there are significant legal protections in place for Canada. Now, the top three countries for diversity, equity, inclusion are Brazil.
Okay.
And then apparently the United States, but that doesn't seem...
If you're looking at policies, the U.S. is known for having
a lot of anti-racism policies.
A lot of policies in place, but the thing is, there's a difference between having a million policies in place and actually applying them in an equitable manner. So you can have rules on the books, but whether or not they get followed is a different issue. So if you're looking at countries in the world where it's good to be a woman in the workplace...
Actually, that's one of them. What do you think are the three most inclusive countries for women in the workplace? Well, safety and workforce gender pay gap.
So Norway has been very highly ranked for a very long time, but it's really interesting because the actual numbers of women who are happy in their workplace versus policies assuring that women would be happy in the workplace. Norway is very interesting because the number of policies are pretty thin on the ground, but they also rank very high. It's sort of this issue of, like, you may not need policies, you just need the right culture.
Yeah.
You need the right environment, and policies aren't necessarily going to fix that, whereas America is known for having just policies coming out the wazoo, and some of that's because it's kind of famously a litigious country, but policies don't necessarily mean anything if they're not applied appropriately. So, I mean, if you're talking about women in the workplace, then yeah, I would almost default to just saying Norway, because they've been ranking very high for a very long time.
Well, Norway is the number one most inclusive country for women who want to work remotely, followed by the Netherlands and Canada.
And Canada, okay.
And now, the most inclusive workplaces for LGBTQ plus people, it's the same three. It's slightly different order.
Okay.
Netherlands, Norway, then Canada. So Canada is repeatedly in the top three for places where folks can go and, you know, do great work remotely. Weirdly, though, another one, the Berkeley Institute, berkeley.edu, the Others and Belonging Institute, specifically at Berkeley, the OBI Institute, they have an inclusivity index as well.
Okay.
And Canada is not top three. It is top 10.
Okay.
That is the ninth. They come in 59th on the race index, 53rd on the gender, 8th for LGBTQ, and then it's sort of all over the place. 18th for the general.
People always neglect disability, because the one of the things that I find very interesting is when you look at the actual numbers of...
There is disability.
Okay, good, good, good.
Canada ranks 32nd.
Really?
On disability, yes.
Oh, well, I mean, this is an issue that I have. So I have eyes that are so bad that I'm discouraged from driving, and I recently had a surgery on my right eye because my eyes are that bad. And let me tell you something. I am glad there's this shift to remote work in Canada, because if you do not drive and you cannot drive to the industrial wastelands of North Mississauga, where like 80% of the jobs are in Canada, you just don't get a job. If you can't drive, you basically don't get a job. There are whole like job sectors, like I don't know what to call them, like industrial parks, basically. Like all the jobs in a city will be in a part of town where the buses don't go.
Yeah.
And
because we don't want to help.
They would, no. You know, you're an adult, you should drive. Well, it's like, well, what if you can't? For various reasons. So it's such an issue. But anyway, so the fact that Canada is kind of thin on the ground for disability, there's this, because of the car culture, if you have an issue that makes it so that you can't drive, it can impact your life and your career in Canada. It's a real issue.
It is worth noting that in this Berkeley list, Canada is ninth. The UK, 19th.
Really?
Where do you think the United States is?
For disability?
Inclusivity.
Survey.
I do have their disability number here as well. But where do you think they would rank in terms of overall inclusivity?
Yeah, the thing is, if you're averaging out over the entire country, I would put it down to like between 15 and 20. Whereas individual states, I would not be shocked if, like, you know, West California is, you know, top three in the world, but then averaged out over the entire nation. Like, you're including...
Yeah, when you get Idaho in there.
Idaho and Nebraska. Yeah, like, you're going to... It's going to average out to be lower.
So, UK 19s, what are you thinking?
For US?
Yeah.
20s?
No.
30s?
No.
40s?
No.
80s?
No.
Did I skip?
You did, yeah. They came in 77th.
Oof.
They are the 70th country ranked for disability inclusion, 16th for LGBTQ, and a 118th for race. Not a great...
The US is that low on race?
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of places joint first, including Rwanda, but they have a lot of... They have their own reasons for being very careful around race.
Yes, yes.
To put it very lightly, no. But on LGBTQ, the index, the top country is New Zealand.
Okay.
Followed by the UK, then the Netherlands, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, Australia, Canada, then Iceland.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the last one then obviously is Austria. Maybe less obvious, but that is who the last one is. Now, we are going to jump to our first track. This is Just Don't Care from the Cowboy Witchcraft album by Kuo Varo. We will be back just after.
Stepping outside for another dirty cigarette. My hair's a mess, I'm underdressed. It's cold as hell and my shoes are wet. My pants are falling, I grabbed the wrong belt. Should've noticed how wrong I felt. Guess I'm praying not to drop them. The full moon's not for a while this month. And that poor old woman's probably seen enough. Run around naked, no curtains and such. But what if I just don't care? Ooh, what if I just don't care? I spill my coffee on the floor and I think I'll leave it there. Just don't care. Ooh, it shouldn't take me a while, but I guess that's the way it is sometimes. Ooh, I'm getting scolded by the kitchen stuff. So I turned on the player, but the record needs a flip. The needle sticks, the speaker shit, the light's too bright and I'm done.
Welcome back to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is DeLuke Smith.
And I persist as being Sebastian.
You are persistent in your Sebastianness.
Yes, it's true.
Which is just terribly frustrating.
Yes, to the everyone in my environment rues the fact that I persist.
I rue the day that you are a Sebastian. Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, are you familiar with Shangela? It's like Angela with a sh.
Absolutely not.
You are not familiar with the Shangela.
Last night, you and I watched Shangelina Jolie in Tomb Raider.
She was fantastic. Yeah. Yes, yeah. No, we had a craving for some old school Tomb Raider.
Permanent duck face.
Permanent duck face.
But yes. In a beautiful way.
No.
It was off-putting.
No, I'm talking about the RuPaul's Drag Race Texas debutante queen, okay. Shangela. She's also, I mean, that's not her
well, it's her stage name.
Her stage name.
Her nom de plume.
I was like, nom de guerre? I'm like, no, that's not right. I'm like, is it de guerre? No, no, we're not. It's not a, not a.
It's not a war.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So Shangela is also known as Darius Pierce,
okay.
Who is a DJ. Now, we are not going to dive into too many of the details.
Okay.
But the Rolling Stone has conducted a thorough sort of 16-month investigation.
Oh.
Into this drag queen, Shangela.
Okay.
And a part of what inspired them was one of the producers of We Are Here, which is where three drag queens, Shangela and mm-hmm. two others who I forget, went from small town to small town across the state, really sort of emphasizing that queer folks are here. They went mm-hmm. to small towns, they put on little drag shows, really kind of taking up the space and celebrating queerness in, mm-hmm. in communities outside of San Francisco and New York.
And Miami.
One of the producers there had taken Shangela to court over allegations of sexual assault.
Oh.
That court case was then settled.
Okay.
But BuzzFeed was also doing an extensive investigation into Shangela with multiple accusations.
That is shocking.
That BuzzFeed does an extensive investigation.
That they still exist.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah, okay.
BuzzFeed was doing an extensive investigation, looking into this particular court case, the allegations against Shangela.
Okay.
However, BuzzFeed shut shop.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
They shut down. And the investigation into Shangela went with them.
Oh.
Which is unfortunate. Now, however, the Rolling Stone, they kept rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And they have continued to do it. They have identified, I believe, four individuals who have separately on different occasions levied quite serious allegations against the drag queen known as Shangela.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to discuss, because of course none of these allegations have been proven in court, one of them has been settled outside of court. There was a criminal case in Los Angeles, although apparently the Los Angeles police have not spoken to Shangela, according to the Rolling Stone.
Mm-hmm.
But the allegations are quite serious. And what I wanted to talk about was the cult of celebrity. Because mm-hmm. when we look at a lot of what's been accused here, the house parties,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the victims have identified as being between 18 and 22.
Oof, okay.
So they are adults.
Right.
They are capable of consenting.
Mm-hmm.
The allegations include being plied with alcohol,
mm-hmm.
Having one mojito and waking up not knowing how you got there.
Oh.
So, yeah, pretty serious stuff.
Okay.
But what I wanted to discuss is, even in Canada, we are seeing the rise in Canadian drag celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of Brooklyn. I want to be very, very clear here. I'm not referring to any allegations against any Canadian drag queens.
Right.
But, you know, if Jimbo walks into a room, or Brooklyn Heights,
mm-hmm.
you know, these Canadian queens where you're like, wow, you know, I know Rita Vega,
mm-hmm.
you know, amazing. All three amazing performers,
yes.
And they would never put a foot wrong. But that's kind of the point here, that they create this sense of awe, this sense of wow, opportunity. You know, some of the comments that have been alleged in these cases are like, you know who I am, mm-hmm. I know you want this, and that may not necessarily be the truth.
Right.
So how do you protect yourself? Because young folks, when they see a celebrity off the TV,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe this is a drag queen where their story was pivotal, they have an outsized influence on young queer folks.
Yes.
So how do we protect for that?
I mean, grounding people in the reality that even celebrities are just human beings, and they're capable of doing all sorts of things. I mean, this is... Okay, so what I'm about to say, I'm not defending the man. I'm clarifying. And what I'm about to say is that when you clarified it, it's actually even worse. So the famous Trump comment of grab them by the...
Yes.
The cat?
Yeah.
It's not so much that he does that. His comment... in context, was originally that when you're famous enough, you could do that and get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say that that's what he does. He just said, when you're famous enough, you could do that and get away with it. Which is, on the one hand, no better. But on the other hand, if you look at the history of the cult of celebrity in the States, he's not wrong. He just phrased it in the most grotesque way possible. And the fact that he was casual about it, that, mm-hmm. to me, that's what made it a horrible comment, was the fact that he's like, it is what it is. Roll with it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what bothered me. And that is an issue. And that is something that... I mean, there didn't used to even be queer celebrities for the longest time. And now that we have them, we basically see them falling into the same trap as some of the sort of mainstream celebrities have, basically since the start of, like, you know, Hollywood in the 30s. That you're famous enough, you know that you can do certain things and get away with it. Because even though what you're doing counts as being sexually, you know, a sexual assault or sexual harassment, people are just so excited that, oh, I got sexually assaulted by Def Leppard. That's the best thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something that you want. So it is an issue of, like, I mean, this is going back to, you know, the behind the music. I mean, Def Leppard's probably not a good example, because they are, I don't think they're one of the rock bands of the 80s that did went through all these controversies, but there are multiple rock bands in the 80s that were famous for controversy.
Yeah, just to be very clear, we're not accusing Def Leppard of anything.
Yeah, no, you just picked them in there, because I was like, was it Whitesnake? Was it Guns N' Roses? I don't remember, but there was a band that had, like, a string of accusations. But anyway, it really did come down to, and they kind of cleaned this up in the 90s, of just educating people that, or people educating their children that, don't be alone in a room with an adult
mm-hmm.
who you do not know personally and don't trust, because you don't know what their intentions are. And if they're a celebrity and they're going to be here today and gone tomorrow,
yeah,
they have no roots in the community, they are not accountable. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't trust anyone, but you should just be careful, because they don't have those roots, and they are not accountable to the community. They have no reason to be, which is not excusing it, but like, from the psychology of it, if you're just passing through a town, you know...
There's also that sense of not making waves, and I think that this is something that's also... It's not unique to the queer community, it is something that exists within the queer community. And I'm sure folks listening will be like, okay, yeah, my community has something similar.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you don't want to upset the apple cart. Where you don't want to point and make accusations within your community.
Yeah.
Because we are holding ourselves collectively to the highest standard.
Yes.
And do we want to undermine that? You know, and that's part of what the Rolling Stones digs into with this investigation into Shangela. There are so many laws being rolled out in the States that are anti-drag. So many, you know, the vilification of the performance of drag is real in the States. So do you want to pile on and vilify someone, even if...
Yeah.
You know that they have caused you harm.
Yes.
Would your measure of accountability cause the community harm?
Yeah.
And even if that causes a moment of pause, it works to silence these allegations.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, Shangela's facing 4 allegations in this Rolling Stone article.
Mm-hmm.
And with things like this, where are there 4? Not saying this is...